At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Is it better that Michigan loses to Texas in this game, but they really, quote unquote, open up the offense and Bryce Underwood throws for 350 yards, which he didn't do one time this entire season? Or is it better that Bryce throws for 120 yards and they run the ball well and they find a way to beat Texas?
I don't think it matters because we don't know who the coach is. Bowl season's been cooked for a couple years, let's be honest, with the opt-outs, with the way that the game has changed with NIL. But every year, there's a couple that we think are kind of kick-ass. And probably the main one this season is Texas and Michigan. We can argue a couple others. Arch Manning announced that he's coming back. Bryce Underwood looks like he's going to play, even with all the Sharon Moore stuff. So thanks for joining us on Crane & Company. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We're almost to 200,000. David Cohn, former Michigan quarterback. Blaine Crane, former Western State, Colorado wide receiver. And guys, before we even get into it, because this one is more fascinating than the others, not just because it's two big brands, but what's going on with each roster. What is the line on this one? Do we have a side?
Yes, right now it's -7.5 Texas. Okay. Money line Michigan going off at +225, the over under at 45.5.
Now, David, you're somebody that's tapped into Michigan. Have you heard anything about opt-outs? Like, is there any specific, you know, with Bryce or Andrew Marsh?
They got bigger issues going on right now.
So we're feeling like Michigan's going to be about as full strength as they could be.
You know, one of the interesting situations last year when they played Alabama is Alabama was at full strength. Michigan had a lot of opt-outs. Michigan punched above their weight, and really it was a lot of the young guys who were hungry to play in that bowl game. And look, anytime you get two of the best brands in the sport, Michigan and Texas, playing each other in a football game, I'm all about it. We should be excited. Bowl season has become very interesting where it's like at times you still think about it as the culmination of that current season, but a lot of the mentality is it's almost like a preseason game for the next year in terms of the way you're practicing and getting some guys ready. I thought that it was good for Arch Manning. You know, people can make fun of Arch Manning saying, well, where were you going to go? You weren't going to go to the NFL. But just getting it out of the way, saying, I'm returning to Texas next year. We're going to be focused. You know, they have a chip on their shoulder with just missing the college football playoff, and they want to put together a good performance in several good weeks of practice. Michigan, obviously, in a very different situation after this disaster and this tumultuous week regarding Sharon Moore. But the best man for the job to fill in, Biff Poggi. And this guy came out this week. He said, yes, it has been a tumultuous time. There's been a lot of disbelief and anger. And really what we're seeing now, quite frankly, kids feeling betrayed. And we're trying to get through that together as a team. So Biff Poggi, he will have this team ready to play regardless of which guys want to go out there and compete.
God, when you read that statement, it makes me really want to bet Texas big in this one. I mean, where do you feel?
Right now, Texas does have some opt-outs. I mean, you're going to miss six really key defensive players.
Okay. Okay.
So, I mean, you have Michael Taft, who's not going to play in this game.
He's not going to play at all.
No, Anthony Hill Jr., who's not going to play in this game. Manny Muhammad, the defensive back, is not going to play in this game. Ethan Burke is not going to play.
Can I change what I said earlier?
Trey Moore's not going to play in this game, and Jalen's not going to play this game.
What about the offensive side?
I don't see anything really on the offensive side. I can keep digging
here a little
bit.
So Wisner's going to play.
Yeah, which is going to be, obviously, I mean, the big thing for me. I mean, one key.
Ryan Wingo's going to play.
Texas has one of the best defenses when it comes to stopping the run, right? Especially when they're at full strength. They're not going to be at full strength in this game. And what does Michigan excel at? That's running the football, right? So those two things colliding with each other, I'm going to see who actually comes out on top on that. And look, I know they didn't turn out to be the guys that they were going to thought they were going to be this year, but Arch Manning versus Bryce, I mean, that's cinema, right?
Just absolutely. And 9-3 is not bad either. Like, it's not like either team went 7-5. I mean, you had an opportunity up until – You know, Michigan, especially the last week of the season, to make the conference championship game and the college football playoff. And then Texas, I mean, you ended up, what, 14, 15, something like that, when you look at the rankings. But, Cone, how healthy is the Michigan backfield with Justin Haynes and Jordan Marshall?
I don't think Justin Haynes is going to play in this football game. I hope he returns for another year of college football. Jordan Marshall's a bigger question. But, honestly, every single running back they plugged in this year found a way to have 20 carries and rush for 100 yards and multiple touchdowns. Like, that wasn't the problem. And, to me, that speaks to cohesion on the offensive line when you're able to do that. So, I'm less worried about that. And I'm just, you know, I'm more focused on the team mentality and obviously the timeline of the calendar here. Michigan would like to have a head coach hired before New Year's Day. The portal opens, what, January 2nd, right? And so, yeah, I mean, this could be outdated with Bryce Underwood announcing the second we post this that he's going to enter the transfer portal. Like, all of that stuff could happen. But I think those players are interested to see who Michigan hires. Obviously, Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, with them being in the first round of the college football playoff, the timing of this is very fascinating. But a lot of those players, they want to see, like, hey, who is going to be our permanent head coach? And in the meantime, that allows us to play a football game against a great brand on New Year's Eve. So let's go play a game.
This episode is sponsored by our good friends over at Good Rancher. Look, we all know the drill with holiday gifts. You spend hours finding something that'll probably end up being in a drawer or re-gifted next year. But here's a better idea. Send a Good Rancher's gift box instead. Their meat is high quality, 100% American, raised on local farms and delivered right to your door. The cuts come pre-portioned and hand-cut by master butchers, meaning you'll spend less time prepping and more time sitting down with the people you love. You can send a physical gift box directly to somebody's doorstep or send an e-gift that lets them pick their delivery date. It's simple and it's customizable. I'm telling you right now, boys, there's going to be Good Ranchers at our Christmas meal and leading up to it, because I have it at every meal. The chicken's fantastic. The steak is. We know. We've used them for years. So this holiday season, give more than a gift. Give a reason to get back to the table. Head to goodranchers.com. Use our code BOOSTER, that's B-O-O-S-T-E-R, for $40 off your first order. Plus, when you subscribe, you'll get free premium cuts like chicken thighs, Wagyu burgers, or bacon in every order for life. That's goodranchers.com. Use code BOOSTER for $40 off plus free meat for life. Goodranchers.com. Let's get back to the table. If Michigan, let's say Michigan were to beat Texas, let's just run this ground ball out. Let's say Michigan were to beat Texas by double digits, and you look at what happened when Biff Poggi was the interim during the season. Is there a chance that Biff Poggi is the permanent head coach next year?
I don't think so. I know, you know, Jake Butt has said that if Michigan wants to go that route, that he would get behind that. Because, I mean, look at what the guy has done since he's been there. He's the exact antithesis of a lot of the problems that Michigan has had. I think Biff Poggi is an incredible guy. I don't know him personally. But I just think, and it's the same thing I told you guys, even with bringing up a name like Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator who was with Harbaugh, who's with the Chargers now. I think that, and it depends on who's making the hiring, how much are the donors involved versus how much is Ward Manuel, you know, just sort of unilaterally making a say here. But they want a clean sweep from anyone who was involved in a lot of these problems. At the same time, Biff Poggi's the best guy for the job right now. And Steve Dace, our friend, asked me a good question, and I'd like to pose it to you guys. He said, is it better that Michigan loses to Texas in this game, but they really, quote unquote, open up the offense and Bryce Underwood throws for 350 yards, which he didn't do one time this entire season? Or is it better that Bryce throws for 120 yards and they run the ball well and they find a way to beat Texas? I said, anytime you're playing a football game that keeps score, it's never a bad thing to win a game. He's thinking more about Bryce's development and possibly getting a big-time transfer portal wide receiver like Ryan Wingo to come over in the portal. What do you think?
Well, you know, when we were talking about this the other day, too, I don't think it matters because we don't know who the coach is. Like, if Bryce Underwood could go out there and throw for 600 yards, and if they hire a coach that he's not a fan of, like, it's not going to matter. Or, on the other hand, until Michigan knows, or until Bryce Underwood or Andrew Marsh or Jordan Marshall or any of these guys figure out who's going to be the head coach at Michigan next year, I don't know if it matters at this
point. Well, did Bryce Underwood go to Michigan because of Sharon Moore?
I think Bryce Underwood went to Michigan because he got $12 million.
So, and that changes. I just don't know if it matters who the head coach is. Mm-hmm. Like, I really don't know if it matters. As long as that number doesn't change, it's attached to Bryce Underwood.
Well, what is it, three a year? $3 million a year for 4 years?
I don't know the details on that. There's been some speculation that that's right, or four for three, or, I mean, every year the million goes up. They're paying him 15. Now they're paying him 18. Again, we're still talking about someone who grew up 19 miles from the stadium and wore Michigan gear in all of his home movies, saying, I want to be the quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines. This is what I was talking about with Matt Moscona right when the flip happened. At some point, the money was great and all, but the sell had to be easy. We just won the national championship. The quarterback who left us early got drafted 10th overall by the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy. You grew up 19 miles from here.
And he can't throw it.
You wanted to always play here. So, again, how badly did he want to just be away from all that? Was what was attractive about LSU or some other school? Was like, I want to get out of Michigan and go, like, be my own man. Again, I don't know what's going on in his head. If it ends up being just a simple financial transaction, I don't know how good that is for Michigan either. We want someone who wants to be the quarterback there and who wants to compete for the program.
Well, somebody the other day on social media was like, you know, look, we've gotten to the point now where kids are going to have to choose between winning or money. And I was like, well, there's some places that do both.
Sure.
That's the trick.
Sure.
Like, you go to Georgia, you're going to get breaded thoroughly and you're going to win a lot of games. That's the trick, to win and be able to pay money, because one thing affects the other. The more you win, the more money you're going to get. But on the field, Blaine, with all those opt-outs for Texas defensively, you know, going into this game when it was announced, I was like, God, why would I not take the under in this one? But if they're missing that many guys with what Michigan has offensively and being able to set that tempo and run the ball like they should, not saying Texas is just going to get run through, you know, could we have a little bit of a higher scoring game in this one? Because again, Texas, all their offensive guys.
You would think so when you're missing six key guys on defense. But I will say, this: I'm sure Texas has depth, right?
Oh, they
with
do
that like roster. Obviously, you can't replace.
They were that good,
it,
they'd be starting.
But I'm sure the backups aren't awful, right?
No,
I'm sure
they're
can
not
plug
to
and
the
replace.
Level Anthony
and Hill. Good for Steve Sarkisian playing in this bowl game and not opting out like those soft boys over there in Notre Dame. I'll say that right now. Good for Sark holding on that. But I will say this. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm looking at the legs of both these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Right? Arch Manning, I mean, he's obviously came along a little bit the second half of the year, and he's been running the ball extremely well, and that's what Bryce does extremely well also. So I wonder how many quarterback design runs we're going to have in this game, who can actually score when they get inside the red zone. Those are two kind of big things that I'm looking at. And it's going to be interesting how Texas is going to match up defensively. Because at the end of the day, look, I know Michigan's not going to come out here and get an empty and throw for 500 yards, right? Are you going to be able to stop the run and force Michigan to get in those third and sevens, those third and eight, and make Bryce beat you with his arm?
Our sponsor, Aura Frames, is the one gift that is always a hit. It's an easy win. It's third and one. QB sneak it twice. You're going to get it. It got unlimited photo and video storage completely free. Just download the app and connect to Wi-Fi. But the best part? You can actually preload the photos in the frame before it even ships. So it's ready to go the moment they open it. They can see the pictures. You can add a personal message to make it extra special. Our families use them. My grandmother loves them. My child loves it. It's just the perfect gift overall, man.
What a rare gift you can get for an 11-month-old who loves it and an 85-year-old.
It is. It spans all ages, and it's so clutch. And Aura Frames, they made it even more clutch. Because for a limited time, you can save on this perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com. Using our promo code Booster, you get $35 off Aura's best-selling carver mat frames, named number one by Wirecutter. Yeah, they're the number one overall seed. But you got to use promo code Booster at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com. Use promo code Booster. This deal is exclusive to our listeners and watchers, and the frames sell out fast. So you need to go ahead and order yours so you can get them in time for the holidays. And please support our show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Yeah.
Sort of leads to a question that I was thinking about here, because on the Bryce Underwood side of things, until they hire a head coach, we don't know who the coordinator would be or if he's going to stay. And so it's kind of tough to approach it from that angle. But on the Arch Manning side, where Steve Sarkisian, I think, is going to be the head coach at Texas next year, I don't see a scenario right now where an NFL team poaches him away. Obviously, that's something we've talked about with him before. But, you know, it was a disappointing season for Arch Manning because the hype was so big for a lot of people, right? But like you said, he got better throughout the year, particularly, in my opinion, on getting to his second, third, and fourth read in a progression. What would you like to see from the Arch Manning-Steve Sarkisian combo here that really sets them up for 2026?
Well, you know, and it's kind of the opposite of what I thought with Arch. You know, I look at his arm strength. I think it's good enough. But, you know, even you look at a guy like Peyton, right, who didn't have the strongest arm ever but was incredibly accurate. His arm was strong enough to do what he needed to do, and he anticipated and knew what he was looking at so much. But Peyton always made his layups. Like, that was the thing with Arch, and I think he has improved there, is the intermediate to short passing game, the wide-open shots. Like, Arch can hit a shot with a hand in his face, but it was the one where he's wide open from the top of the key because the defense busted and he's missing guys and are moving his body and throwing off platform when he doesn't have to, which to me is unbelievably fixable. Like, if that's the biggest problem you have, it's making layups, but you can slash and hit a hook shot, I can teach you how to make layups. So, dude, it's just not going broke by making a profit, throwing the checkdowns, realizing, hey, once I get, if that first read isn't there on the combo and I've got something quick on the backside I can work to, or we're running double slants, just taking the easy throw and making the easy throw, that's what I want to see from Arch. Because at the end of the day, that's how you're going to consistently move the ball down the field. The running, and I know he's got that Gonzaga white boy ability running it, where it's just athletic enough to work and you're just not intimidating enough to get away with it as a runner. And he's got that goofy run, which works too. I mean, look at Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Goofy runners are hard to tackle. I'd rather you just have perfect form running, not the goofy runningness. Or that's why guys that are bow-legged, I mean, they're tough to tackle, and they're incredibly fast. We had a dude in high school that was bow-legged and pigeon-toed that I think could have won a gold medal in the 100 meters, but he just stopped coming to school one
day. Yeah, I agree. When it comes to Art, yeah.
I don't know where he is. I think he ran somewhere. I think he may be part of the
Avengers. They never caught him.
I think he may be part of the Avengers now.
And they never caught him. Yeah, kind of, I agree with what you said. I just don't think Arch Manning doesn't need to go out there and play hero ball.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to do that, right? You need to realize that you have really good players around you. You have Wisner. You have Wingo. I mean, you have Andreas, who balled against Texas A&M. You just have to do what you're supposed to do. And if it comes down to it and the play breaks down, your athletic ability can take you to that next level. I really believe that. And I think a lot of it has to do with Sark. And I agree with you, which Peyton was one of the best at. It's like, look, if it's not there, take a check down.
Yeah.
Right? Put it in the flats.
Second six.
Go get four or ground the ball. Right? You need to learn to know when it's not a good play. Sometimes a great play is you throwing the ball away.
Yeah.
And if he can understand that, which obviously comes with time and age and experience, which we've kind of seen against that. I mean, look, he was 14 for 29 against A&M, right? Threw for like 160 yards, one touchdown, but no interceptions. Mm-hmm. You avoid that big mistake, then you can rely on your teammates to kind of pick you up in other ways.
Well, and then Michigan, you know, you talk about, well, they're not going to come out and empty and throw the ball a bunch. Well, with Biff Pogge, I mean, they and Chip Lindsey opened it up more under Biff, yes, than he did under Sharone. And we saw that multiple times. I don't think it was an accident. And if Texas isn't going to have Muhammad and Taft, I mean, I'm going to put Marshon McCully out there. We're going to play a game called Let's Go Make Some Money.
I think you're going to see a Michigan offense with their backs against the wall. Wink Martindale is going to do what Wink does, right?
For
so
sure.
If Arch is able to do the things you're saying against a Wink Martindale defense and they win, that's going to be an impressive victory. Because, yeah, I mean, that's an NFL DC at the end of the day. On the offensive side of the thing, I think you're going to see Biff Pogge say, hey, man, this was a tough situation. We're playing with house money. There's nothing to lose. Do whatever you want to do. Let it all hang out. And let the world see what a Chip Lindsey offense is like when you're not hamstrung or being micromanaged in any way. I don't know what that's going to look like.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Look, it's holiday season. It's the best time of year for sports, bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at once. And while you and I are out here making decisions every day on what gifts to buy, what to eat, which game to watch, there's only one place where it feels good to be right, and that's over at Prize Picks. Look, set your projections, set your lineups. They always got awesome perks. The app is so unbelievably easy to navigate. They do an incredible job on the updates as well. And they also have some big news. They just launched early payouts. Now, if your lineup's performing well out of the gate, you can go ahead and cash out your winnings before the game's even finished. And what another thing we love about Prize Picks, how straightforward everything is. I don't have to spend a lot of time trying to calculate my payouts. I'm not good at math anyways. They do it for you. Plus, this week, there's a special max discount promotion on the board right now. Anthony Joshua has been discounted down to only need to go for more than 0.5 total punches landed in the boxing match against Jake Paul. So just add another player to your lineup, and if your picks hit, you can cash in. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code Booster to get $50 in lineups after you play your first five. Download the app. Use code Booster to get the $50 in lineups after you play your first five. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Yeah, I mean, this, again, just another area of this game that is unbelievably fascinating. And really, the last thing I have, you talk about a launching point for Texas going into next year. It's so interesting to see the dichotomy of the way teams are approaching these bowl games. Because, like, if you're a team that has a new coach that turned down a bowl game, I understand that. You've got other things structurally. I mean, you're still filling out your staff. You're trying to recruit. You're trying to recruit guys to stay on your roster, and the portal opens January 2nd. You look at a team like Michigan that we don't know what it's going to look like until they hire a new head coach. But Texas is in that position of, hey, we know the guys that are coming back. A lot of this team is going to look similar next year. We have our quarterback coming back. We can use this one as a launching point. But at the end of the day, I mean, Texas playing Michigan, Michigan playing Texas. I don't see how you go out there and lollygag your ass.
I can't wait to watch, to be honest.
It's the bowl game I'm looking the most forward to.
Yeah, I agree.
To be honest. And we want to know in the comments, who do you think is going to win? What part of the game are you most excited about? And who do you think is going to be the head coach at Michigan next year? We actually talked with David Pollack on Wednesday about that because there's some interesting storylines going on and a game could tilt who the next head coach is at Michigan Friday night in the playoffs. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. We're almost to 200K. Enjoy the bowl watching, not just Texas, Michigan. I mean, my guy Jerry Mack at Kennesaw State. Shout out J-Mack. Going from 2-10 to a 10-win season. Really proud of him. They got a big one as well. So make sure you're locked into Crane & Company. We'll catch you next time.
All of this is an illusion, an echo of a voice that has died. And soon that echo will cease.
They say that Merlin is mad. They say he was a king in Dovid. The son of a princess of lost Atlantis. They say the future and the past are known to him. That the fire and the wind tell him their secrets. That the magic of the hill folk and druids come forth at his easy command. They say he slew hundreds. Hundreds, do you hear? That the world burned and trembled at his wrath.
The Merlin died long before you and I were born.
Merlin Emrys has returned to the land of the living.
Vortigern is gone. Rome is gone. The Saxon is here.
Saxon Hengist has assembled the greatest war host ever seen in the Island of the Mighty. And before the summer is through, he means to take the throne. And he will have it. If we are too busy squabbling amongst ourselves to take up arms against him, here is your hope. A king will arise to hold all Britain in his hand. A high king who will be the wonder of the world.
You.
To a future of peace.
There'll be no peace in these lands till we are all dust.
Men of the Island of the Mighty, you stand together. You stand as Britons!
You stand as one.
Great darkness is falling upon this land. These brothers are our only hope to stand against it.
Not our only hope.
They say Merlin slew 70 men with his own hands. At Cathay, he slew 500.
No man is capable of such a thing.
The mortal man.